This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Scott Johnson, Columbia County Administrator, is in with us in studio. First of all, thanks for coming kind of on late notice. Appreciate you making it over here. There was a fairly decent crowd last night on hand to hear this go on. It was about 50 people there?
Yeah, actually, we had a really good crowd. We had a couple of items, though. I think there was probably 25 or 30 for this item, but we had a full house.
I talked to Doug Duncan a little earlier today, and I asked him, I said, in the years that you've been there, and remember, he served two full terms as a regular commissioner before he became the chairman. He said he can only remember one license revocation. How many liquor license revocations or refusals to renew have you had since you've been administrator?
So I believe there's only been one or two that I've been involved with as well.
And don't those normally come from underage sales and other violations like that?
Well, I think the one that the chairman was probably referencing was the Bel Air Tavern. And I just changed names a couple of times. But
is that the Backyard Tavern?
Backyard Tavern became the Bel Air Tavern or whatever it is. And there was a group trying to make a go of that, but they didn't even have a kitchen. So there was no way they ever qualified as a restaurant. They were trying to serve some food, but there was no way. They didn't meet the code as it related to the kitchen. So that was one that it got caught up in the renewal of the license or trying to take a new owner.
Now, is that the one right out here on Bel Air Road?
It is, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah, in front of the old Young's Pantry.
Gotcha. Yep. So, again, this doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often.
And as I've made the case before, you guys, and I say you guys, the powers that be in Columbia County decided a while back that they're more than happy to accommodate restaurants that sell alcohol, but what you never want to do is have a bar that just serves a little bit of food every now and then.
That's correct. That's right. And that's the intent of the ordinance, and that's the way the commissioners wanted it enforced.
You heard what I said. I want to ask your opinion on it real quick right before we go to news with Mark in just a second. But it's my general impression that the last thing in the world Columbia County ever wants is to have the issues that come up, not at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night in downtown Augusta. That's all fine. But after 10 on Friday and Saturday night, downtown Augusta turns into something much different than what most people want it to be. And are you concerned that that could happen if you're not careful in Columbia County?
Well, I think that's absolutely the intent of the commission. You know, I spend a lot of time in the Keys. I love Key West. I love the atmosphere in Key West. It's a fun place if you want to go visit a bar and have a drink.
You wouldn't want to raise kids there.
Exactly. So, but I don't think that's something that Columbia County is looking for.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love New Orleans.
That.
I love Jamaica.
Yeah, exactly.
Would not want it.
Right.
Matter of fact, my wife asked me one time, "Are we ever going to bring Bo here?" I said, "I'll send him here on his honeymoon, and you and I won't be anywhere around."
That's
here.
Right.
Trust me. Scott Johnson, Columbia County Administrator, is in studio with us. And again, I've gotten probably today about 50 inquiries concerning the stay social tap and table revocation. And by the way, is this effective immediately, or how much longer is she able to stay in business?
So it is a revocation. It's effective immediately. The way the code reads, we have to notify the development services director, and then he has to, within 7 days, notify her by certified mail. So it'll probably be middle of next week, I would think, that she would actually receive that.
Is there any kind of appeals process to this? Is she able to say that she's going to appeal and ask?
No, this is the final step as it relates to an administrative thing. I think the only other option she may have would be some sort of court action if she chose to go that route. But no, there are no appeal processes here.
And I've had probably as many people say this as have even asked me about it. Well, she can just get an attorney. I don't think she has a winnable case. I would like to have seen this lady. Her name is Renee. Nice lady. She's been here on the show.
She's a great lady.
Yeah. I would like to have seen her succeed in what she was doing there. Her problem was kind of twofold. Number one, she opened during the pandemic, which kind of put her behind the eight ball and hitting her numbers. And this didn't work to her favor. Did you? And correct me if I'm wrong here, Scott, but hasn't she been out of compliance much longer than she had to be out of compliance to get in trouble?
So we went back. Well, actually, the development authority, who was responsible for the incentive grant that she got to open. So there was an incentive grant that was granted to allow her to open in the plaza.
And was it $120,000?
It was a total of $100,000. Some of it was a forgivable loan, and some of it was a actual grant.
So what do you have to do to walk up to sign up for free money like that. I mean, I'm not insulting her. God bless her. But
no, it's a destination retail incentive. The commission did that. There was a lot of discussion about trying to create this downtown atmosphere in Columbia County and specifically in that area, what we would call the plaza. It's not just the Maybaum Building. It's things in the general area around Evanstown Center Park and the Performing Arts Center. Because we had a lot of people asking about, you know, we need more restaurants. We need more sit-down places to eat. We need more to support local business and those sort of things. So the commission set aside $500,000 in a destination retail incentive, turned that over to the Development Authority for them to manage that program. And for those people that are interested, there's a set of guidelines and criteria that you have to apply under, and then you apply. And if they grant your incentive, if they grant the award, then they monitor your activity. And that's really how this came up. It was the Development Authority was actually monitoring her activity as a result of the incentive. It wasn't something that the county went out and looked for or found, or there was no complaint.
But the Development Authority is supposed to let you know if there's a problem.
Which they did. They did.
And again, she had not been in compliance much longer than what the statute calls for her revocation over. And
right.
In other words, her problem started far earlier than what she was on the hook for.
So she opened in 20, and she had 6 months and didn't meet it that first 6 months.
Now, wait a minute. She opened in 20. Keep in mind, the real major shutdown of the pandemic hit March of 2020. I always look to that calendar or to that poster right there because February 21st through 23rd was the last big event in downtown Augusta, Mamma Mia, before everything shut down. And so it was March of 2020.
Correct.
And she opened when?
She opened towards the middle of that, so June or July of 20. So terrible time.
Yeah.
So she had that problem with that calendar year. Then she had the full calendar year of 21, which that was really the focus of the audit that was done by the Development Authority. And then she had from January to July of 22 numbers to show that she turned over to the Development Authority.
January to July of 22.
Correct. So where we are now.
So just a few months ago. So if she had been in compliance from January through July of 22, she'd be okay. And you can't use the COVID excuse at that point.
So yes and no. I think she probably would have been in a better place. The code allows you to go back 2 years to enforce it. So if we'd have been made aware of something in that happened in 21, the commission still could have taken action in 22. We weren't aware of that. We were made aware of it all at the same time. But I think it probably would have been maybe a better situation for her if she was better in compliance. And quite frankly, I think she was trying to get – it looked like, based on her numbers, she was trying to get closer and closer into compliance.
I have not spoken with Galus. I have not spoken to Malir, Skinner, or Williamson about this. I have spoken to Doug Duncan about it, and he was the lone vote against it. And I asked him, I said, what was your feeling on this? And he just said, well, I just felt terrible that this lady had done all this work, and, you know, we want these projects to succeed, and I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt and give her a little more time. And he said my colleagues didn't feel the same way. He said, but I, and he let me know that the public feedback on this that is documented, and I don't mean phone calls or not phone calls, well, phone calls of a radio show. I'm talking about documentation through email, regular mail, and face-to-face conversations. Is this accurate? Almost 50 to 1 against it?
It was a 50 to 1. Well, I don't know about phone calls. Now, individual commissioners could have got more. I know what was directed to my office. It was 2 to 1 for us to revoke it.
2 to 1?
2 to 1.
Now, do you think that's a direct result of the drag night controversy?
You know, there's been a lot of discussion about that, and you know, each commissioner can vote their own heart.
I never heard one negative word about that place until the drag thing came up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't want to put words in their mouth. You know, I know that there were people for that, there were people that are against that, and that's really kind of become a polarizing issue as it relates to this. I know that wasn't brought up in the hearing last night. There was no discussion of that.
Well, I think there was some animosity because after she spoke, the vote was held immediately, and was there any discussion?
There was no discussion at that point. So just to kind of lay out how this thing was to work, she was put on notice that she was in violation based on what the Director of Development Services got from the Development Authority.
And real quick, just sure. To define for our listeners what being in violation means.
So in Columbia County, if you have an alcohol license and you are an eating establishment, you're a restaurant, the code says that you must derive 50% of your gross sales from prepared food. Now, that means prepared food can even be non-alcoholic beverages. That's actually included in prepared food. But it doesn't mean that you have to be 50-50 alcohol versus food. It means that you have to have 50% of your gross sales are food, and the other 50% of your gross sales, if that's merchandise, alcohol, sponsorships that you sell, all those equate to the other 50%.
It seems to me like if you were paying attention – you could creatively fix this from day one, saying, for instance, we're going to sell a basket of French fries for $10. And if it comes with a beer for a dollar, but you got to buy one to buy the other. I mean, you can, there are ways to get around this.
I think there probably are. And I don't think,
in a legal, and I don't mean in a crooked way, just in a creative way.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's, there may be situations out there where people are trying to do that. But I don't think that was a situation here. I think in this case, Renee was trying her best to make a go of this place. It was taps are the big thing. I mean, it was based on a design we had not seen in Columbia County. We were very clear up front that the food had to be a very large part of that. And she was, her numbers were close. Now there's an argument about, which numbers are you looking at, these numbers or these other numbers that I gave you. But that, again, that's what I was going back to. That's what the hearing was for last night. The hearing was to allow her and anybody she wanted to call as a witness to come in and convince the county why they should not take her license and present any evidence to that effect.
I've been told repeatedly on issues like this that if the governing authority, and doesn't matter which government you're talking about, but in this case you're talking about Columbia County, if they have a tool that they can use to close down a troublesome or a problematic business, that if they ever do that, let's pretend real quick, going to the future 5 years, and there's a business that's similar to this, but let's say they have some hideous public safety record that obviously is not an issue with Stay Social. If you try to close them down using this formula, they could immediately raise their hand and point to Stay Social and say, well, you didn't make her do it, so you can't do that to us because you've set a precedent. You give this many chances, that many chances, which is why I think four members of your commission said the rules are the rules and we need to stick to them because we may have to use them in the future to take care of a problem.
I think that's exactly what you saw, was that they felt like there was a code violation and they wanted to strictly enforce that part of the code.
Renee is called in. Do you mind?
Oh, no, not at all. Renee is a friend.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hold on a minute. Does he have earphones over here? Are there earphones? Bear with me, Renee. We're going to get Scott some earphones so he can hear your phone call. Our good buddy Minnesota Mike is running in here. Are they over there? Okay, thank you. I did not realize. Thank you. It didn't even occur to me until we started to do that. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And while I have a moment here, let me do this while Mike's doing that. I want to remind you real quick about our friends at Brunson Pest Control and Mold and Moisture Control. Two great services under one name, Brunson, and one phone number, which I'll give you in a minute. They take care of the pests that threaten the foundation of your home, the woodwork, those termites. Man, they love to make a buffet out of the woodwork in your home. They'll do whatever they can to chow down on the space you live in. Don't let that happen to you. And also, while you're getting rid of the termites, they take care of roaches and spiders and ants and fleas and all those yucky guys as well. Brunson also has a great, great eye for mold or mildew infestations. They keep an eye out. They're under your house. They're on top of the house looking for signs of mold or mildew normally caused by excess moisture. It can be a leaking roof, a leaking pipe, Last thing in the world you want is the health of your family affected by one of those issues. Trust me, by the time it manifests, it is far beyond fixing easy. Brunson wants to spare your family that damage, that heartache, and also spare you the trouble of greatly diminished property value. Get Brunson on the job today, the double protection you need. Brunson Pest Control and Mold and Moisture Control, 803-278-2477, 803-278-2477 for Brunson. Renee is on the hotline here. She is the owner and operator of Stay Social Tap and Table. Renee, how you doing?
Hey, well, I bet you can guess.
Yeah, not good. I can imagine. I wasn't being sarcastic when I asked that.
No,
Scott Johnson identifies himself as a friend of yours. Do you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah.
What could he have done, or what could the county have done to help you out of this issue better?
Well, they could have given me a little notice, or I wasn't even aware that they were looking at my books. I mean, I was never my books were never requested by the commissioners or the director of development services, like is required in the code. I had talked back and forth with Robbie Bennett of the Development Authority, really just bantering about the well-being of the business and how things are doing, and I never gave him official numbers that were reviewed by my accountant. He never requested those. I mean, I went into it with, you know, casual conversation because he said they were looking to help us out. You know, they were wanted to make sure we were doing well. All of our conversations had to do with him looking out for our best interest. I fully thought that they were in support of my business, you know, like the public has been. And so I was completely caught off guard when I was served notice that they were initiating actions to revoke and or suspend my alcohol license. So that being one, and then after, you know, I plead my case in front of all of them, it was never even like a, hey, we should give her 30 days to come in compliance, a slap on the wrist, not even a chance to really have an audit of my books. I welcome that. My CPA was standing right beside me saying he offered that.
Let me interject here for a minute. Scott, was this something that she maybe should have taken up with the Development Authority before it ever got to you guys?
I think she did take it up with the Development Authority. I think that the way this thing transpired was, you know, the Development Authority got information and passed that information on to the county. Renee made reference last night, and she did it again today, about the Director of Development Services having to request that. You know, I think the code's pretty clear that he can get that information from anywhere. In this case, he got it from the Development Authority, and that's what started the process. You know, we probably, if the Development Authority, you know, was working a little bit closer to her, it could have been some other discussion potentially about the hearing. But, you know, again, the hearing was the opportunity to say, you know, hey, come show us why you should not be revoked in this case. And I think that was the big issue last night. And yes, Renee mentioned it, her not auditor, but her
CPA.
Thanks, Renee. Yeah, CPA was actually there. I think, you know, had he had some evidence that he could have presented last night, that probably would have been a good place for it.
Some of your supporters seem to really react very nastily toward the commissioners. Do you think they were kind of painted in a corner? Did they have an option, Renee? I mean, I'm asking you. I don't know what you think about this.
I'm not sure that I know what you're referring to.
Well, I mean, they had the information that was in front of them based on their set of rules. They really don't have an option much. About the only thing that they could have possibly heard is that, you know, either you had been completely done in by fraudulent numbers, which you weren't trying to say. You were trying to explain why things were in the state that they were. And sadly, the law doesn't give them the ability to grant you much grace under those circumstances. If you had said, well, these are fraudulent numbers and they misrepresent what happened, then they could say, well, we need to reevaluate.
Well, the fact that they never actually looked at a P&L, I mean, or any of that, it was, you know, numbers that I literally hit print from QuickBooks. And I explained to Robbie, and I can show you the chain of emails in all of them. These have not been reviewed by my CPA. These are not official numbers, period. And, you know, I mean, it kind of goes beyond that, too, because in the alcohol ordinance, it says the Board of Commissioners or its designated committee, in its discretion, may consider any extenuating circumstances which may reflect favorably or unfavorably on the applicant. I tell you, any other municipality would look at this, and the way that I opened and the amazing job that we did to get the sales tax dollars generated through COVID, through the biggest extenuating circumstance that our time has ever seen and hopefully will ever see.
But
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And listen, I don't think, Holman, if you're talking about from March through January of your first year, I'm certainly 1,000% in agreement. But for January through July of this year, which you also apparently had problems with falling into the good numbers on, there's no excuse.
That's not true. January to December of 21, 50.3%.
That's not 50.3 in your favor or against you?
No, 50.3% food sales.
Okay, well,
and that's the thing.
Let me ask you then. Yeah, well, wait a minute. Is that month by month, or is that
for the full year?
Okay,
that's for the calendar year 2021.
Yeah, so that is for the full year. So when she came in last night, there was a question about, the first number she gave, I think, put her at 46 or 47%, and then she went back and looked at some. Comps that, and she explained those comps and how those comps were computed last night, and those comps were actually put her to that 50.3%.
Right, the comps were reflected as an expense, and as my CPA pointed out to me, that you pay your sales tax based on your total sales less the comps, and it's not comps; it's discounts. It's 10% off of your cup of beer if you bring in your Pilsner. It's 15% off of wine on Wednesday nights. It's, you know, it's a slight percentage of my total sales, but he explained that's the way that we pay sales tax. That should be included up here in your income and not as an expense. So that's all we did. And then we took sponsorship numbers. And see, this is why it's so important for an accountant to be involved, even in the discussions, because I didn't know. I'm not an accountant. I'm a business person, and I pay an accountant every month to help me out with these things, and I was never afforded that opportunity by the county. And so, in full transparency, let's see, January to July of 22, I was at 47.7, but in August, 54.7, in September, 53.4, and we have a ton of already on the books that now we're going to have to cancel events for large parties. We had one for 80 people for a retiring Navy commander the other night that brought in $800 in food sales.
Well, let me ask you real quick, Renee. I mean, you've had an attorney through this process. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I honestly didn't think I needed one. I thought this was, just the ability for me to state my case, but they didn't listen to a word I said. And it was very sad because my attorney called completely livid after the fact that she didn't cancel her plans to come there. I mean, I've been talking to her, but she's not a retainer. She's a friend.
So what you're saying is that your attorney read the same news reports this morning that the rest of us did, and now she's saying she wished she had been there.
Yeah, for sure. And okay. I wish she'd have been there.
Is it too late? I mean, I know how these things work. I mean, can she get in front of a judge and ask for a stay of execution, so to speak? I mean, is there some way for you to appeal this?
We are working on that, yes.
Scott, is there I'm not asking you to advise her, but you've never had to deal with this before because you've had one revocation that was open and shut that you know of in your time, and so this is uncharted territory for you.
Yeah, it is. I think the code is clear that the commissioner's decision is final, so anything that would reverse the decision at this point would have to come from the courts.
So, and I get that, but it says in the rules, unless she was reading it wrong, that they do have the discretion to grant her some leeway if they desire that. They just didn't choose to use that discretion last night, the four of them did.
That is correct. They could have assigned it to another committee to hear it. They could have given her additional time if they wanted to do that. There was some discretion prior to the vote, but once the vote is taken.
And by the way, I want for the record, this is very important. How many public safety calls do you know that have gone to Stay Social since it's opened?
No, I don't know that off the top of my head. I wouldn't imagine many, but I don't know the answer.
I don't know of any. Renee, have you ever had to call? Have you ever had the sheriff's department show up at your business for any reason whatsoever?
No, sir.
I mean, nobody got mad at another customer and took a swing at them. Nobody accidentally drove through your picture window. Nothing ever happened. I mean, not even it wasn't your fault.
No.
I mean, I got more complaints on the 7-Eleven next door. just from people throwing up in the parking lot. I mean, just from people throwing up in the parking lot. Oh, don't get me started on the middle schools and the high schools. Gee, man, you'd be shutting those down in a heartbeat, Scott.
That would be a cause for revocation, too, if we got repeated calls.
What I'm saying is
it'd be a separate reason, but it could be a reason as well.
I think about what happens in Richmond County. I mean, Lord have mercy. There's a convenience store down there that had a homicide and drug investigator shot in cold blood in their parking lot, for God's sakes. I mean, with Scott Johnson, he's the Columbia County Administrator. It's been a very, very large topic on the minds of a lot of people, not just in Columbia County, but anyone that had supported Stay Social Tap and Table. Renee is the owner of Stay Social. She's on the hotline with us, and I appreciate you patiently waiting on there. And Scott was telling me that this is an order that was supposed to go into effect immediately. What's your state of operation at Stay Social right this minute, Renee?
Well, we had a ton of people, including a couple local businesses, that brought all their employees in to buy coffee this morning. I mean, we've just kind of been sitting around waiting because obviously nobody really knows what to do. But I'm actually sitting here with E.G. Maybaum. He's been here the whole time, right here, just kind of talking about that because obviously he's got a financial interest in us doing well and continuing to operate as well. So
is he your landlord?
He is.
Okay. Yes. So tell him we said hello, by the way. So I need to make this clear, I guess. He's you're a restaurant as well, so you can conceivably, for the short term, stay open as a restaurant and just not sell alcohol, right?
Of course.
That's correct.
That's what we intend to do, yes.
That's what you intend to do. So your attorney, who is also your friend, does she think she has enough, not evidence, does she have enough material to go to a judge and perhaps ask for a stay of execution, so to speak, on enforcement of the liquor license revocation?
She was ready to do that last night, but I told her to hold off because I wanted to, you know, EG and I still had to speak. You know, he's spoken with his contacts over there, including Scott, just to kind of see what this process is going to look like. So does she? Yes, she does. Yeah.
Are you optimistic that you can work this out?
Well, one way or another. I mean, I'm a fighter. You know that. I'm not going to go down without a fight. So, I mean, it is what it is. And I do have some, you know, special interest groups in my pocket that are also ready to help out. So, one way or another, I'll either be here or somewhere else, but I'm not going down.
Yeah, you understand, and I tried to make this point clear, it's the political will of the commissioners, and I can guarantee you it's the political will of the majority of the residents of that specific neighborhood, that they have restaurants and eating establishments such as yours where you can certainly order a drink if you want to, but very few of us, want a bar or a lounge, which is what, you know, Broad Street in downtown Augusta has 100 of. And again, that's all fine and good from 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning when Metro opens up to about 10 o'clock at night on a Friday or a Saturday when trouble starts.
Right.
You don't want that trouble either. I mean, you've got a very nice business and go ahead.
Right. I mean, I fought really hard to be in Columbia County. I could have opened in Richmond County 2 years before I did. This is my home. This is where I want to be. I was not looking to create a rowdy establishment. That's why people are like, you should get liquor. No, that's not what I want. I am one of those Columbia County residents that don't want bars. I'm fully on it. But to me, like 47% or 52%, I mean, is that you're talking about pennies in a year and now my alcohol license is gone. Like if a lot of people said to me, you're crazy for doing that in Columbia County. They're, you know, this is not the place for you. And I, you know,
wait a minute. Let's ask a question here. Why do you say that? Because Reinhardt's right around the corner from you, Mellow Mushroom right across the street from you. They can't be any more successful than they are. It ticks me off how crowded my favorite Reinhardt's place is now. I mean, it's too damn popular. Yeah. Nobody goes there. It's too crowded. I'm joking around. I love Amy Bailey. I said, gee whiz, when did everybody else get to love you too? That this makes me angry. I now have to wait for a table at Reinhardt. And she laughs. I mean, she's a victim of her own success. So people in Columbia County love to go out to eat, and they love to drink when they do, because trust me, they ain't just selling soda pop at Reinhardt's.
That's right. I'm wondering what their numbers are. How do we go about getting those numbers?
Oh, order some shrimp over there. You'll understand where their money comes from.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's the vodka drink.
No. That might be where their profit margin is based on the market. What I'm saying is food's very expensive these days, which is why they had to quit selling crab legs that they were impossible to get. So bottom line being, I think the vast overwhelming majority of the people in Columbia County want the option of dining in a place like yours. But again, you got to hit those numbers. And what you're telling me is that if you can be given a little bit of grace on what's happened in the past, you think that you've got this problem taken care of from here on out. Is that what you're telling me?
If I knew it was going to get to this point, I'd turn those taps off at 7 p.m. and let people order their food. Like, I honestly, you know, as evidenced by me not walking in with an attorney last night, had no idea that would be the end result. No idea. I'm a woman of my word. I didn't, you know, people make it seem like I intentionally, you know, I'm throwing big parties and we're doing all these crazy things to up our alcohol sales. Alcohol sales are what pays our bills, point blank. I mean, you look at profit margins on the food.
It's profit. It's again, that's a profit margin situation. And I completely agree with you. Trust me, the little bit of time, 5 years I spent on the Coliseum Authority, I saw what the markup was on fountain drinks. And that's what builds those buildings. It's not tickets to the Jimmy Buffett concert.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I do have to ask you this, because I've had so many people ask me, do you think your handling of the drag show earlier was perhaps a black eye that you didn't need?
I didn't want to think that going into yesterday, but as of the social media uproar and everything that's happening today, and from what I've heard, the conversations with the people in the county have been, I do.
I don't have one complaint, legitimate complaint. I have not heard one legitimate complaint about the show itself or the way that your business conducted itself during the show. And as a matter of fact, Scott Johnson echoed this, as did Doug Duncan. I talked to both of them right after the event. I said, hey, did you guys cite them for anything? Did they do anything wrong? And they said, no, actually, they were 100% on the up and up. And trust me, there were people there that were looking to tell on them.
Did you get your bet money from that one guy?
I probably need to go hunt it up. So again, the problem was you put yourself on the radar of some very unforgiving Karens out there, and they all wrote their commissioner, and they all called their commissioner, and they sent letters to Scott, and as a result, they've got this 2-to-1 get the license back situation. But that doesn't seem to reflect the true spirit of the law to me. And I'm hoping, again, get your attorney in gear. And I can't state enough, folks, and I think Scott would back me up on this because he's got a background in law enforcement. No matter how innocent you are, Scott, no matter how much you think you've got your stuff in order, if you've got the ability to have an attorney with you, you have one with you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, no issues with having an attorney. If you can get one there, I think it's great to have.
Yeah, they see these things coming from a mile away, and you know, maybe they can speak up and say something. Well, hopefully that's what's going to happen here. At this point, are you, again, emboldened is probably not the word. Are you encouraged by what you've heard from the public on this?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Yes, we have immense support via, you know, social media, via people coming by here, people asking what they can do. So, you know, I'm rallying my thoughts over these next couple of days, and then I'm gonna come out. You know, when I speak loudly.
All right, Renee, thank you. Keep us abreast of what you got going. Okie doke.
Of course. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you so much.
Scott.
Yep. Take care, Renee.
All right. Well, there doesn't seem to be any animosity there, and I wish I could. Let me read to you one of the notes. Hold on. This is from one of the most genteel human beings I've ever known in my life. I've known her for over 40 years, and one time she fussed at me for saying, "Damn it," when I stumped my toe. That's how much of a straight shooter this is. It came in last night. Here we go. Your buddies on the county commission suck. They didn't even give Renee a chance. Shame on all of them. Karma's a bitch, and I hope it comes back to bite them big time. Jerks. No wonder restaurants hesitate to come to Columbia County. Just ugh. I'm so disappointed and disgusted. And I wrote back to this person. I'm trying to understand what went wrong here. I know that Doug Duncan voted to give her another chance, but he was the only vote. And she writes back to me, they all knew how they were going to vote. They didn't even give her a chance to sit down before they voted against her. Don't tell me it's not partially because of the drag shows. These are jerks. She's being penalized because she worked her butt off. And she said, well, she worked her ass off to stay open during COVID. And she made her percentages since then. Our commissioners are a-holes. Again, this woman used to fuss at me for the slight. I mean, I was like, matter of fact, I said, good God, you're getting feisty in your retirement, aren't you? Do you think this is a problem that can be fixed?
Yeah, I think the commissioners are very interested in strictly enforcing the code. And if we get one tomorrow that somebody questions the 50-50 rule, we're going to have to investigate that one as well. If we get evidence presented by somebody else, we're going to have to look into that as well. And I think based on what I saw last night, what I've heard from commissioners, they're interested in enforcing that rule, and they're going to do it every time that it comes to their attention that it's – that is a problem.
I was sent a note while we were on break a minute ago saying the tavern that you were referring to, the Backyard Tavern, was such an outrageous and egregious breaking of the rule that anybody could see that coming. You probably had street cops telling you, hey, you got a problem over here. There's no way that they're adhering to the law. But this, again, because of the closeness of the numbers, never would have come to your attention had the Development Authority not said, hey, you got a problem here.
Correct. Had it not been for the retail incentive that was done and the Development Authority following up on those numbers, look at those numbers, we probably wouldn't have been tipped off to this being an issue because it was close.
Yeah. And by the way, I was reminded just a moment ago that since he has gone to work for the county, there's actually been a change in his title. He was hired as county administrator, but he is now the county manager in Columbia County, and that's Scott Johnson, of course. Scott, I wanted to state for the record unequivocally, and I want to make this as clear as I possibly can, let there be no doubt about it, to my friends that are huge supporters of the downtown scene, God bless you. There's a time and a place for everything. In this area, in the CSRA, you've got one major metropolitan downtown area that serves the entertainment community, the live band community, the drink and drown community. And I don't mean that in a bad way necessarily. I was young once too. It's downtown Augusta. It's not downtown Grovetown. It's not downtown Harlem. It's not downtown Aiken. It's downtown Augusta. And no time in the near future or any time, I think, in our lifetimes, do I believe that the political leadership or the population of Columbia County wants anything to do with a bar or a lounge district? Am I right, Scott?
Yeah, certainly not with the board of commissioners we have now, and based on the feedback I've gotten from the citizens that we've talked to, the majority don't want to see that. They like it the way it is in Columbia County now.
You know, and there are great spots downtown in downtown Augusta that I would frequent in a heartbeat if I had the occasion to go down there. I was down at the Rooftop not long ago. Metro, I mentioned in the past. Soul Bar, love it, love it, love it. Stillwater Tap Room, all those fantastic restaurants. It's just a different business model for the downtown Evans development, if we want to call it that. And, again, you can go to Cork and Flame and eat as fancy and drink as nice as anywhere on the planet.
Very nice. Yes. Very, very nice. They do a great job.
And immediately go over and watch the show at the Columbia County Performing Arts Center. At the same time, the folks at Stay Social say they're not done yet. So I guess it's fair to say that if they come back with new information and perhaps a new approach that the commissioners would accept what they have to say. I mean, again, I think it's going to take a judge.
It's going to take legal action at this point, yes. So this is not something that can be reconsidered or appealed. So there's really nothing to come back with at this point. It would take legal action.
All right. Well, you've got your instructions, Renee. I hope you're able to follow through on it. And it sounds like you've got a lot of folks pulling for you out there. And I know that Scott spoke very highly of you and the way that you ran your business with this, you know, one exception up until now. And again, he stated for the record, you guys had not had one single public safety complaint about
that. Not to my knowledge. I hadn't spoken to the sheriff about that, but not to my knowledge. I don't remember one.
I promise you, if the sheriff had gotten complaints about it,
I probably know. Yeah, we talk pretty regularly.
You'd have heard about it. Yeah. And listen, you've been around a long time,
yeah.
And you also worked in some other jurisdictions, did you not?
I did.
So you know what a bad place looks like.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't have any in Columbia County right now.
Right now, we're in pretty good shape in Columbia County. We're pretty blessed.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate
yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me in, Austin.
County Manager Scott Johnson. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.